Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Decision 2022 coverage, sponsored by Air Comfort Service and T.R. Hughes Homes.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The yeas are 65, the nays are 33.
Will the president accept this decision as legitimate, even if he disagrees with it?
We cannot allow New York to become the Wild Wild West.
What are they? Said the ultimate state of election, said, you know, don't deliver. And we didn't.
What we're trying to do is to deal with an acute problem right now.
Maybe it could be about 0.2% effect on inflation.
The Fed, I think, underestimated actual inflation.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Everything's shocking anymore. I'm Ryan Recker. One more hour of the Mark Cox Morning Show. You can join us on our video Facebook feed, which is up live right now. You can find me on Facebook as well, Ryan Recker Radio. You can get it right there. Joining us now is a candidate for Missouri's 3rd Congressional District, Brandon Wilkinson. Welcome back to the show, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Let me just get a background from you. So you're a truck driver?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Is it truck driver code anytime you see a kid give you the honk the horn sign that you actually have to honk the horn?
No, but you know what? We love it more than the kids do. So, you know, that's the highlight of our day all the time.
Awesome. All right. So let's talk about the district there. In your district, what are some of the problems that you're facing and what do you see? How do you think you can fix them?
So believe it or not, actually one of the biggest issues that I hear is illegal immigration. You wouldn't think that would be a thing being, you know, the heartland in Missouri, you know, but that's a big one. So close the border, enforce immigration law. Another one that I hear about when I go around, and this is one I hear from parents all the time, is that they're concerned about their kids being indoctrinated with CRT and DEI and SEL. And I know of schools in this district, in this congressional district, that have pushed the CRT stuff. So that stuff has to go. You can't be teaching some kids that they're racist and other kids that they're oppressed. And it's just complete trash. And then DEI and SEL, a lot of people don't know about those, but diversity, equity, inclusion, and social emotional learning, they're just as bad. And they're just going to keep changing the acronym and try to get it by. So that's a really, really big one. And then inflation and economy is probably the next most important thing I hear from people. And that one we need to, we need better monetary policy so we're not printing more money than the world ever thought could exist. That's a big one right there. That's one of the biggest pushers of inflation right now.
the fact that we can't even, I mean, fathom the amount of money we're printing right now is one thing. Let's talk about the inflation and the problems that we're seeing right now. If you're driving a lot, you're probably every time you're going by a rest stop, you're looking at, okay, what's the price of diesel here? It's probably the highest you've ever seen it in your entire lifetime. That's got to be hurting a lot of people in your industry.
Yes, it absolutely is. People don't realize how much fuel trucks use. We don't get the kind of fuel mileage of cars, you know. So truck drivers, your average truck is going to be about 6.5 to 7.5 miles per gallon. So, and you have 200-gallon tank. So, you know, you're spending when it's $6 a gallon, you know, you're sitting there and you're spending $1,200 to fill your tank, and you're doing that every 2 days. So it's hurting owner-operators right now. People are exiting the trucking industry so fast, it's ridiculous. And we already had an 80,000 driver shortage. So we're going to see more supply chain issues. We're going to see more shortages in our stores than our grocery stores.
Yeah, it's scary because it's all related. I mean, that's if you talk about the price of goods, getting the price of goods from point A to point B to the store that you enjoy purchasing it from, it costs money for that. And when that costs more, then the goods cost more. And we're looking at how everything is just so related to all of this right now. We got a lot of problems and a lot of these pocketbook issues that everyday people face. And it's not just in large cities. I mean, it's all across the Midwest, and it's not getting any better. That's the sad thing. So what would you do to fight to make things better?
Well, right off the bat, one thing that's in my economic plan is what I'd love to do is actually lower the cost of trucking, deregulate trucking. And I've been talking about this. I've wrote about it since about 2020 or 2019 that, you know, everything that we own, everything in our homes, anything you want to buy, everything all came through a truck. So if you can lower the cost of trucking in transportation logistics, you'll lower the price of all goods. So there are so many regulations in trucking that are redundant and that increase costs. And I used to be an owner operator and a lease operator. So just in the few years that I was had my own trucking business, I saw the cost increases from all the new regulations. And we're talking almost 15 years ago. So in that time period, it's just been more and more. Every couple of years, some big law comes out that dramatically increases prices for companies and for owner operators and truck drivers. And a lot of them are very, very redundant. They overlap on top of other ones. And, you know, so if we can deregulate trucking, and I'm not saying make it the Wild West of trucking with no laws, but let's go through the books. Let's remove a bunch of these redundant laws and lower these costs. Then everyone will feel that in their pocketbook. Everyone.
Brandon Wilkinson, by the way, if people wanted to look you up, because the primary is coming up here soon, August 2nd, and they wanted to learn more about some of your ideas, where can they go?
My website, BrandonForMissouri.com, or my Facebook page. I actually now have the second largest political following on Facebook in the state of Missouri, and I'm just a regular guy. I'm about to hit 250,000 followers on Facebook, surpassed Josh Hawley about a month ago. So then go to my Facebook, which is you can search the at symbol BrandonForMissouri, or you can search Let's Go Brandon Wilkinson.
Maybe that's why.
And I have
that's
to
part
ask,
of it.
You know. I thought that when we changed the name, that was really going to increase the numbers, and it didn't move the needle at all. You know, I already had a really sick following. But, you know, I do want to ask people, I'm a regular guy, and I'm not rich. I am facing a seven-term incumbent who's very heavily funded by PACs and corporations. I've put roughly about $30,000 of my own money, and I put my money where my mouth is, and $30,000 is a whole lot of money to my family. So if you like what I stand for, every dollar counts. Donate 5, 10, 20. It adds up. Grassroots power can absolutely turn an election. So please consider making a donation today at BrandonForMissouri.com.
Brandon Wilkinson, a congressional candidate for the 3rd District here in Missouri. Thank you for coming on this morning to 97.1.
Thank you guys for having me on again. I love coming on the show.
Very good. And a big thank you for always honking the horn when a kid requests it. That's one of the great joys of being a kid. Brad Young, legal analyst, partner at Harris Dowell Fisher & Young, will be joining us next. We'll talk about the Supreme Court, some of the decisions yet to come out. And I do want to talk about the legacy of Clarence Thomas as a Supreme Court justice. He had a great decision that came out yesterday. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox for the next, let's say 40 minutes or so. And it's been a fun week. I've really enjoyed it. So thank you for anyone that invited me onto your radio. Joining us now, a friend of mine, a legal analyst. You hear him often on 97.1. He's a partner at Harris Dowell Fisher & Young. Brad Young, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Ryan, it's great to hear you in the morning.
I have a couple of questions for you with the Supreme Court. And did you get a chance to look over the brief that was written for the New York concealed carry case?
I read the decision from Justice Thomas and the dissenting opinions. I didn't read the briefs that were filed, but I did read the decision.
Right. Well, in the case of the decision, there's a phrase that Justice Thomas uses that I just absolutely love. So he talks about, and let me read the quote, that an individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home is not a, quote, second-class right. Mm. That term second-class right, has that been used in the past?
Never. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time it's ever been used. But in that opinion, Ryan, Justice Thomas goes on to explain what he means by that, because he points out if you have any other right under the Constitution, you don't have to get the government's permission to exercise it. You don't have to go and ask a judge to express your opinion. You don't have to go get the government's permission to start a church or to attend church. So there's no other right that requires the permission of the government. And yet in New York, you had to get the permission of the state in order to carry a gun. And he points out that that places it in a second class status. And what I think is particularly interesting about that, Ryan, is that this comes from Justice Thomas. Obviously, he's black, and he, when he was younger, I'm sure, and maybe even today, he was treated as a second-class citizen. So it's interesting that through the lens of someone who was treated in his younger days as a second-class citizen, now he writes the opinion freeing the Second Amendment from being a second-class amendment.
Wow. And just that phrase alone, second class right, I just love the way that sounds because it so clears up the idea of what he's trying to portray when it comes to the Second Amendment. Can we talk about the legacy of Clarence Thomas a little bit? You don't get to see a lot written by him over the years, but lately and recently, we've seen a little bit more.
Yeah, he's written a lot. Now, for years and years, he wouldn't participate in oral argument. And he's kind of gone through a little bit of a change in that. I think his view earlier was oral argument really wasn't all that important to what he was going to do. But now he started engaging more and he's writing more opinions. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that when he was on the court, there were always earlier in his career, there were always justices who were more senior than him. And typically the most senior justice in the majority is the one that gets to write the opinion. So as judges and justices have retired, he has kind of stepped up the ladder in terms of seniority. And I think that's why we're seeing more opinions written by him.
Makes sense. Brad Young joining us here, legal analyst for 97.1 and partner at Hairstyle Fisher & Young. Let's talk about the decisions that are yet to be released. And there's a big one on abortion that I think we're anticipating coming out here in a little over a half hour.
Sure. I mean, we don't know. The court never telegraphs, to use a term that would be antiquated. They never telegraph or they don't tweet what they're going to be issuing, the opinions are going to be issuing. But we have a couple of reasons to believe that today could be the day for the abortion decision. First of all, last weekend, the court enacted fencing around the Supreme Court to protect the Supreme Court from protests. Secondly, I don't ever remember any opinions, and I'm sure there may have been over the years, and I just don't recall, but there's nothing that comes to mind about Friday opinions. I mean, opinions are always released on Mondays, unless they're really jammed, and then they'll add an additional day. But this is the third day. They did it on Monday, they did it yesterday, and now they've just suddenly added today as a day to hand down probably four opinions. And so chances are today would be the day because of all of those circumstances.
Right. Well, I don't know if you know this. I saw this rumor on the SCOTUS blog that when they announce the decision, they're going to blast Rebecca Black's Friday off of loudspeakers to anyone that
really?
May be outside. Yeah, this
I
will be a first
know
for the Supreme
that.
Court. Okay, so we kind of got a sneak preview of this decision ahead of time, this one Dobbs case and the abortion case that everyone's watching. Let's say it stands true. What do you anticipate is going to happen when you get to finally read the final brief?
Well, the thing that I'm looking for is this. The leaked opinion, the draft opinion that we saw was written in February, and things change a lot over time when it comes to Supreme Court decisions. In particular, we didn't see Justice Roberts in that majority. And so if Justice Roberts, and there's a lot of tactical considerations here when you're the Chief Justice. So if Roberts puts himself in the majority, he gets to designate who writes the opinion. And he could designate himself, and he could soften the opinion in order to not necessarily directly overturn Roe versus Wade. On the other hand, he could easily even go into the minority opinions on that, in which case it would still be maybe a 5-4 decision. So to me, Justice Roberts is the linchpin here of how this decision gets written.
Do you have any thoughts or are you going to compare the two in your curiosity of how things change over time? This will give you a peek of behind the scenes of what goes on at the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I certainly didn't like the fact that an opinion was released. But since it happened, yeah, I'm going to be looking and comparing that leaked opinion to the opinion that eventually gets published to see how it changed and in what way it changed, because that's a glimpse into how the Supreme Court works that we've never had before, ever, in the history of this country. So even though I don't like that it happened, I think it's also instructional.
Yeah, it's a learning experience. I think the Post-Dispatch is going to put a copy of each up in the comic section, and you have to find the six differences and circle them. I always love that in the newspaper. Brad Young, Harris Dahl Fisher and Young, of course, a guest host and analyst here on 97.1. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Hey, my pleasure, Ryan.
Yep, this is what you're going to hear at the Supreme Court later once they blast these out of loudspeakers as the decision is announced. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
He is the host of Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Catch him every Saturday morning. Ryan Wiggins, hello.
Hello, Ryan Recker. How are you doing?
Doing good. Excited to hear what you're going to be talking about on the show this weekend.
Oh yeah, I would say probably half the show we're going to devote to all the Supreme Court stuff of this week, and today's not even over. Who knows what today will bring for the Supreme Court, but it's been a really busy week, and we're going to dive into a lot of the opinions that maybe aren't getting as much attention, and of course the ones that are too.
Yeah, just give it a half hour. I'm sure all will break loose here soon. And it could even be that abortion case. So that's going to be even the biggest one on the docket. And there have been some already big ones on the docket.
Yeah, the abortion case, of course, is what everybody's watching. But there have been some big cases. I mean, there have been things about Miranda rights that aren't getting as much attention. This gun rights bill out of New York, it was struck down. That's been kind of the marquee one of the last few days. Although the school choice bill out of Maine, I think will have far more reaching ramifications for the culture and for the future, maybe even than that gun bill will. But I did write a piece about the gun bill, so I probably should talk about that more than the school rights one, huh?
Yeah, but go back to the Miranda rights one. I'm not familiar with that. What's that case?
Well, I haven't dove into that yet. I'm actually researching that for the show tomorrow right now. But it involves whether police can be held accountable or sued if they don't read the Miranda rights. And just from the headlines, I know that the Supreme Court said that they can't. Basically, they sided with police and said, no, if they forget to do a part of it, you can't. It doesn't throw out the whole case if the policeman doesn't read the whole thing right, I think is the gist of it.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so the gun case that came down yesterday, that's the big one that a lot of people are watching because of the Second Amendment. Clarence Thomas writing that opinion that I just thought was so excellently wrote.
Yeah, so the opinion itself, usually, you know, you get, unless it's a 9-0 case, you get the opinion from the majority, which is now the established precedent, and then you get the dissent from the minority, and in this case it was 6-3, so you had the six either constitutional or middle judges that sided on the side of the New York bill being unconstitutional. I keep saying bill, it's law. So striking it down and saying that they've gone too far in basically, determining who can get a gun, who can't, and their permit system and all that was designed to slow down and reduce people's Second Amendment rights. And the court said, you can't do that. The dissenting opinion, though, what's interesting about this case to me anyway, beyond the ramifications of the actual case, is that usually you have the opinion, you have the dissent. In this case, you had Samuel Alito writing a full concurrent opinion. So he was in the majority. Usually if the dissent, you know, isn't quite as dissenting as it should be, according to one of the judges, there might be an extra dissent, you know, saying, well, they think that, but I think it's even worse. Well, he was actually going further than Clarence Thomas and almost writing a rebuttal to the dissent in his concurrent opinion, and absolutely took apart their arguments. And I mean, one by one. And the biggest one to me was that they brought up the Buffalo shooting as, you know, examples of things that should and could be stopped by New York's law. This is New York. Buffalo is in New York. The law was in effect when the mass shooting happened. It makes no sense to say, and this is what he was saying in that concurrent opinion, it makes no sense to bring that news story into this when the law in effect didn't stop it from happening in that state in the first place. So your logic doesn't make any sense. But furthermore, Ryan, what I think was interesting about and why I wanted to write a piece about Samuel Alito's concurrent opinion is that he actually talks about their judicial philosophy in this thing and says, look, if you're bringing current events into a case, you're trying to litigate this. You're trying to write law. This is about the Constitution first, then legislative law, then precedent. And you can't start at the bottom and work your way up. You got to start at the Constitution and then work your way down from that. And you're doing the exact opposite. You're trying to legislate things from the bench instead of just applying law. And you're basically not being a judge is what he was getting at, which is perfect. I mean, we have to call that out.
What a great tie-in, because Roe v. Wade was writing from the bench. Ooh. I mean, really the origin piece of it. And that's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a lot of criticism, writing from the bench like that, as opposed to interpreting constitutional law. So this might be righting a wrong that's been there for a long time. And this decision that could come out today, if this is any indication of what you're pointing out.
Exactly. And that's why it would get struck down if it does, because you know, I'm all for the rule of law. And I actually honor precedent just as much as everybody else does. I think you probably do. But the way that these things happen is Constitution first. And then if it's unclear and there's a law written, then that second, and then judicial precedent. Well, Roe versus Wade, it did exactly that. It went from the bottom up instead of the top down and tried to write a new law that wasn't in the Constitution and actually had never been passed by a legislative body either, especially at the federal level. So it created a new law. And what they would be writing the wrong is that saying, well, that wasn't a law. You made a law up in 1973. You can't do that. We have to get rid of that.
All right. I actually prepared a game for you today, Mr. Ryan Wiggins. Okay. I don't know if you'd like to try to play this game. I guess Carl and Scott, you can play along too if you like. Sue, I don't know if Sue wants to give it a shot, but there was this viral video of Joe Biden going around on social media, and everyone's trying to guess what in the world is Joe Biden saying. So I'd like to play it for you and see if you can guess what Joe Biden is saying. You want to give it a try?
Okay. If I say no, are you just going to hang up on me?
No. You just have to guess. Okay, ready?
Okay, I'll do it.
All right, here we go.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
Okay, what is that single word that American can be defined by?
Azimprism.
What was that?
The word is azimprism.
Oh, that's not bad. All right, let's listen to it again. Let's see if you're right.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
Okay. I think you might be a little bit off.
Foot?
Carl, you want to guess that word that America could be defined?
I think he was in the middle of a sneeze.
Not quite. Good guess.
It sounded like athlete's foot. That's what I hear.
Athlete's foot.
That's
Let's
two
play
words.
Yeah.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in
I still can't tell what he's saying. All right, so this clip has been going online, and it's almost become viral. People are trying to guess what Joe Biden is saying here. And, of course, I found the full clip because I had to put it into context. Do you want to hear what he's actually saying?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a listen here.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in... the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
All right, so the word you were trying to hear was
foot was in there.
Foothills of the Himalayas.
I was right about foot.
Okay, might be a little bit hard to understand. I don't know how you get
even in context, you can barely understand what that is.
Yeah,
I was in the the foothills of the Himalayas.
All right, so that's how America can be defined: foothills of the Himalayas, but completely slaughtered through the language. All right, Ryan Wiggins, if people want to listen to your show this weekend, how can they do it?
They can do it on the radio. You just leave it on this station, unbelievably, and it's on tomorrow morning from 6 to 8.
What do they say? You'd like turn it on and rip the knob off is what the old saying is. They could do that tonight.
I've never heard that, but that's fine. Yeah.
Leave it there and rip
it off.
Wiggins America, you can catch here Saturday morning. Thank you for coming on today, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. See ya.
All right, we got one more segment coming up of the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Cox. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. Maybe you're playing along at home and you're trying to guess, and I can look at the video feed. I'll see if there's any guesses of what Joe Biden was saying on there. This is 97.1 FM Talk. Yeah, a lot of people are trying to guess Joe Biden's mystery word. That clip is actually a couple of months old by now, but it just resurfaced as people are having some fun with it online. It's a tough one. I guess people are trying to sell T-shirts with what they guess the word is, which is just a random string of letters for the most part. So we only got a couple minutes here. I'm excited for this weekend. I finally starting to feel better. This whole week hit me. I was just hit like a ton of bricks with this cold. And it started late last week on Friday. And then over the weekend, it was bad. And then I just could not get better all week long. It just felt like mucus was in and it wasn't leaving my body. And when it left in droves. And then a new crew came in and started taking over the place. So I'm hoping that I get some work done around the house. I've got so many things I need to do. So hopefully everyone's weekend is going to be nice. We know that big Supreme Court decision could be released here. They anticipate about 9 a.m. Central, so within 10 minutes. And that's going to be the big top story of the day if they put the decision out on that abortion case. And that's going to be a really historic and big one. If the leaked decision is any indication, it looks like it'll default back to the states, which is a good thing that Roe v. Wade, you kind of lose that power. And I definitely am against abortion. I am pro-life. So that is a step in the right direction. We'll just have to wait and see how that goes, though. We're just a couple of minutes away from hopefully some good news in that sense. A couple of things I want to get to before we go. With the Supreme Court, the ruling about Roe v. Wade, they were asking about that yesterday during the press conference. The press secretary there for the Biden administration was asked from the reporter standpoint if you're going to accept the decision either way that comes out. Can we play clip number 9?
Will the president accept this decision as legitimate, even if he disagrees with it?
It's going to come from the Supreme Court, so it's going to be a decision that we certainly are going to respond to. So I'll leave it at me. It's just like any other Supreme Court decision, just like the one that they did today on guns. So as we know, the draft was leaked, so we can't really, you know, we don't want to speak to that too much until there's an actual decision, which we know supposed to be coming. So we're all just like you waiting to see when that happens. But in the meantime, we're doing our due diligence to be prepared. I just don't have anything for you at this time.
Yeah, terrible tap dancing right there. So how many times have you heard when it came to Roe v. Wade, they would say, oh, it's settled. It's already settled. Yeah, Supreme Court settled this. Oh, you can't go back and revisit it. You can't even. No, it's settled law. That's basically the default answer when it comes to defending the law of Roe v. Wade. So now when it could be overturned, you're not going to look at it as settled, of course. You're going to look at it and say, I guess it'll be a decision that you may or may not respect. That's kind of a shame. You know, I thought that the whole idea was you should respect the Supreme Court and the decisions that come out of there. And you know, this was Donald Trump during his administration. If they came out and said they disagree with the Supreme Court decision, they may have said something that they're going to fight it. They're going to try to find other ways to go around it or whatever it is. They would be forthcoming with it. But here they are tiptoeing and they're like, okay, no, they look at it as the more mature answer, I guess, when it comes to being lied to by the White House. I don't know. Part of this, too, that we find when it comes to the rulings and restrictions of the Second Amendment, we noticed that there were a lot of people that were very quick to comment about this. We played that clip from New York Mayor Adams saying that we can't allow the New York to turn into the Wild Wild West. I think Justice Thomas said it correctly when he said that the Second Amendment is not a second class right. A second class right. So beautifully written in that sense. Governor of New York, Hochul, was talking about the ruling from yesterday. Let's see this in clip number two.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking that they have taken away our right to have reasonable restrictions. We can have restrictions on speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but somehow there's no restrictions allowed on the Second Amendment.
Well, no, there's still restrictions on the Second Amendment, but I think a lot of people's goals would be to strip those protections and get rid of those sort of infringements, I guess, from the government, I should say. But it's interesting because they say, what about our right as the government? I haven't seen Hamilton, but I've seen a couple of parts of it, or at least understand it. Isn't there a big scene where the King of England's singing about you'll be back and all of these different
things? Yes.
It almost sounds like the Governor Hochul there, kind of like sounding like Queen of England in that sense. What about our right to oppress you? Does anybody ever think of the government's rights to take away yours and to say ours are more important than yours? That's almost what it sounds like. Poor us, the government. We cannot infringe on you further. Oh, well, somebody think of the administration. Here's another clip from Governor Hochul. Clip number three.
This is New York. We don't back down. We fight back. And we'll be alerting the public, the media, in the very short term, exactly what our language that we've been analyzing. We have language we'd like to now enact into law.
Okay, so you're going to find ways around it. No difference than the Trump administration, okay? They look at it and they say, he's such an oppressor. He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. But here they are doing the exact same thing. So it goes to show you how hypocritical really they are. One more clip from the Governor Hochul in New York, number four.
And I'm sorry this dark day has come. They were supposed to go back to what was in place since 1788 when the Constitution of the United States of America was ratified. And I would like to point out to the Supreme Court justices that the only weapons at that time were muskets. I'm prepared to go back to muskets. I don't think they envision the high-capacity assault weapon magazines intended for battlefields.
Oh, the musket argument.
As being covered, but I guess we're just going to have to disagree.
They're defaulting back to the musket argument. Okay, it goes to show that they are really lost in something like this. Poor us, the government. Has anybody ever thought about it'll be harder for us to oppress you? Has everybody thought? Well, this has been a fun week. Enjoy your weekend. I'm Ryan Recker. You can find me on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio, Mark Cox Morning Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Have a good weekend.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.